of this morning is 15-1387 In Re Vajon, Incorporated. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Ryan.
May it please the court, Andrew Ryan for Vajon. So it is Vajon's position that the board committed legal error by ignoring its expert's declaration, the declaration of Dr. Bailey. The board dismissed of Dr. Bailey's entire declaration in a single sentence with no indication that it gave any consideration to his experience, knowledge, as a person of skill in the art, as they're required to do under KSR. It really is harmful because if you follow the logic that Dr. Bailey lays out in his declaration, it becomes clear that the board's grounds for obviousness just do not hold water.
It seemed to me that the factual support for the Bailey declaration didn't really add much because those arguments were duplicated by attorney argument. So that at the end of the day, whether or not they attributed the argument to the Bailey declaration or the attorney, the board covered everything that had been submitted. Am I wrong about that?
Well, the problem is that they treated the Bailey declaration like attorney argument without giving it the proper consideration of the expert evidence that it is. It is entitled to, the standard is a significant consideration.
What aspect of the Bailey Declaration shows non-obviousness?
Well, so starting with the Giannino reference, when you look to Giannino, Giannino describes combining methyl acetate with water, and it stops there with regard to methyl acetate. There's no discussion in Giannino of adding yet another solvent to the methyl acetate in water. In fact, in Giannino, it does talk about adding a third solvent to ethyl acetate, but not the methyl acetate. So the lesson a person of skill in the art takes away from Giannino is methyl acetate, water, you're done. In the alternative, what it shows is a biphasic solution, not a single-phase solution. Either way, there's no indication, there's no teaching, there's no pathway from Giannino for a person of skill in the art to combine methyl acetate with glycol ether. Dr. Bailey lays all that out, giving his impression of what Giannino says to him as a person of skill in the art. There's no indication the board gave it any more weight than they did attorney argument, as they should have.
They're not compelled to give it particular weight.
Correct. Not compelled to give it weight, but they're not allowed to ignore it. And I think it's clear that they did.
They didn't ignore the substance of what he said. They dealt with it. I thought you just told us that they dealt with it, but they just dealt with it as if it was attorney argument. You're drawing some distinction between whether or not they said this came from the Bailey Declaration or this came from the attorney argument.
Right.
What is that distinction?
Well, it's entitled to some consideration beyond just mere attorney argument. It can't be ignored, and they did ignore it, even though they addressed it in that one sentence.
Well, they also addressed it in the rehearing.
Not in its entirety, though. They didn't follow his logic through why Giannino and Perlman don't guide you to the claimed composition. And it, you know, when you understand that the board simply ignored his testimony as a person of skill in the art and treated it only as attorney argument, it does become clear that the board's obvious analysis is really a true hindsight analysis using the 532 patent as a template. Because there's nothing in Giannino and Perlman that guides a person of skill in the art to the combination of methyl acetate and glycol ether. Like I said, Giannino, it clearly talks about methyl acetate, water, stop. There's nothing for a person of skill in the art to go on there to add something else. And then they really did just kind of went out and cherry-picked a reference, Perlman, that includes glycol ether. In a classic way, just using the 532 claims to go out and find what they needed. Dr. Bailey did use his background knowledge when he analyzed Perlman and realized that Perlman is directed to non-volatile solutions, compositions, and that if one were to just, for no reason, add methyl acetate to that composition, because remember, Perlman doesn't mention methyl acetate at all. For no reason to add methyl acetate to that composition, you'd lose the benefits of the non-volatile composition that Perlman is really all about.
It sounds to me as though what you're arguing is that the board can't disagree with an expert declaration.
They can't ignore it. And it's clear from our reading of their decision that they did simply ignore it. It is akin, I think, to a case like Sullivan, where the court mentioned the expert declarations in a footnote, indicated that they weren't going to grant it weight for a certain reason. But at the end of the day, they did go on and ignore it, which is what this court found. Same with Rozbicki. The board.
My recollection of Sullivan is that we held that they had rejected the declarations for an incorrect reason.
They did in a footnote, and then this court held that they were obligated to consider those declarations.
They were obligated not to reject them for an incorrect reason.
Well, you go to Rozbicki, and the language is clear that they're obligated not to ignore it for whatever reason. Even if
there was no rejection here of the Bailey Declaration for an incorrect reason, was there?
Yeah, ostensibly, the reason they gave is that it was entirely based on his opinion and no other outside facts. First of all, even if that were true, that's not grounds for ignoring a declaration. It still must be considered.
Well, you keep on saying ignoring. I mean, what they said is his general opinion testimony is entirely based on the teachings in the reference and provides no factual-based evidence in addition to the teachings of the prior art itself. They're allowed to, therefore, give it less weight than they might otherwise do. You conclude that they ignored it. I think a fair conclusion is that because of what they said, they considered it but gave it less weight than you might wish they had given it to.
Right. Well, it's probably always a fine line whether a piece of evidence is giving little or no weight or whether it's completely ignored.
I would think ignored means not referred to or not relied on. And the determination clearly shows that both, they do refer to it, they do rely on the declaration to say we move on because this declaration does not help.
There have been other situations where the court has kind of given, respectfully I'll say, lip service, or the board has given lip service.
They addressed the arguments made in that you want to call out of Bailey. They addressed those. You just think they should have addressed it from a different perspective since they addressed it as if it were an argument and they should have given deference to him because he's an expert. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, they gave no explanation as to why, you know, his impressions of the prior art, given his status as an expert in the art, weren't impactful at all.
Well, it does. It says that Bailey's opinion provides no factual based evidence in addition to the teachings of the prior art itself. So it found that the Bailey declaration basically went through the prior art and that was it.
Yeah, but his opinion as an expert is itself evidence that must be considered. Another point is when the board addressed the Jerusik reference for Representative Claim 3 regarding sodium acetate, that's at page 21 of the record, the court's page 15 of the board's decision. They simply said, we are not persuaded that Jerusik is not analogous art for the limited purpose for which the examiner cites the reference. It's a conclusion they just reached themselves without any discussion at all of Dr. Bailey's impressions of Jerusik. It's like a case like Rozbicki, where they substituted their own judgment for that of the expert. That's an indication of how the board treated the Bailey declaration. This debate about whether or not they gave it no weight or whether they ignored it, I think that indicates that they did completely ignore it inappropriately. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time. So.
Thank you. Ms. Graber.
May it please the court. The central theme of Vijon's appeal is that the board erred in its consideration of Dr. Bailey's declaration. The board did not, however, ignore Dr. Bailey's declaration. Rather, the board simply found the declaration unpersuasive, stating that the declaration lacked any factual evidence outside the teaching of the cited prior art to support Dr. Bailey's general opinion testimony. And unlike the cases Vijon cites, the board directly addressed each argument on which Dr. Bailey opined and rejected them on the merits as unsupported or contradicted by the cited prior art. And this is true for each of the representative claims on appeal. For Claim 1, the board found, contrary to Dr. Bailey's opinion, that a person of skill in the art, for numerous reasons, would have expected to use the glycol ethers to form a single-phase composition. Opposing counsel mentions Dr. Bailey's reference to Giannino and Perlman, but the board and the examiner, the examiner found that Giannino, in fact, taught a single-phase composition, a homogeneous composition, and that Perlman was not the primary reference relied on, rather that was Jurema, which taught all the limitations except the buffer. For the representative claim 3, the board found that Jurusik was reasonably pertinent for the purpose of teaching sodium acetate as a well-known pH buffer in the chemical arts. The board was simply not required to ignore the prior art and accept Dr. Bailey's opinion just because he said so. Unless there's any other questions, we ask that the board's opinion be affirmed. Thank you.
Unless there's any questions, Your Honors, we'll rely on our briefs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We thank both parties. The case is submitted. That concludes our proceedings for this morning.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m.